to church. Are you aware of the seasons beginning to pass? No? You want to hold on to summer, right? I'm with you. Why is it the shortest season of the year? Mathematically, it isn't, but emotionally, I'm sure that it's half as long as winter. Oh, well, enjoy it while we can. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I want to tell the story of a man who died a week ago at the age of 84. So that at the time of this country's most turbulent domestic crises in the 1960s and 70s, this man was young. And he devoted himself to those crises. Things like civil rights and the Vietnam War. What is noteworthy is that his activism took the form of humor. He was a stand-up comic, a social activist, and a man of color. His name is Dick Gregory. He set out in a calm and dignified way to break the back of a distinctly American form of theater called the minstrel show. There's a museum at Ferris State University in Michigan that describes minstrel shows as music and comedy shows that depict black people as, this is their language, dim-witted, lazy, superstitious, and happy-go-lucky. This image of black entertainers was the only one that white America had before Dick Gregory. His breakthrough as a comic came when the Playboy Club needed a fill-in. Gregory had been working small, all-black clubs in Chicago when a Playboy executive caught his show one night and recognized talent. He was recruited for the club. Never mind that his debut show was for a convention of frozen food industry executives. All white. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, the 28-year-old Gregory began. I understand there are a good many Southerners in the room tonight. I know the South very well. I spent 20 years there one night. He continued, last time I was down South, I walked into a restaurant and this white waitress came up to me and said, we don't serve colored people here. He said, that's all right, I don't eat colored people. I'll take a whole fried chicken. He said there was a group of Klansmen sitting nearby. One said, boy, we're gonna do to you what you do to that chicken. So he picked up the chicken, kissed it, and said, okay, boys, line up. Despite enduring from that audience what he later said were some dirty, insulting comments, the heckling soon stopped as Gregory won them over with his provocative but non-belligerent form of humor. Segregation is not all bad, he said on stage. Have you ever heard of a wreck where the people in the back of the bus got hurt? It was supposed to have been a 55-minute routine. It went on for an hour and 40 minutes. And when it was over, the audience gave him thundering applause. There wasn't a healthy race joke in America when he performed that routine. The jokes were all derogatory to one race or another. Dick Gregory helped to change that. He gave us a healthy way to laugh about racial differences while not denying the fact that those differences are real and that they're painful. Dick Gregory also gave us a black entertainer who wasn't an Amos and Andy buffoon, but an intelligent, thinking American. In fact, he served in the armed forces as a very young man, mostly entertaining the troops. He once explained how the Army charged him $85 when he lost his rifle, adding, "That's why in the Navy, the captain goes down with the ship." A few years later, he commented on the feared Soviet Prime Minister Nikita Khrushchev. "Wouldn't it be funny," he said, "if Khrushchev really didn't hate us, but his interpreter did?" Health issues became important to him. He eventually founded a company that sold weight loss products. On his own health, he once said, "I've been reading so much about cigarettes and cancer that I quit reading." That wasn't entirely true. He quit drinking and smoking, became a vegetarian, and even wrote a cookbook among many other titles. In the 1960s, he began a 40-day fast to protest the Vietnam War. 10 years later, during the hostage crisis in Iran, he flew there, began a fast, had a ceremonial visit with the radical cleric Ayatollah Khomeini, and met with the revolutionary students who had taken 52 Americans captive in the U.S. Embassy. He returned home after 5 months, weighing 106 pounds. Those captives were eventually released unharmed. In between writing books and speaking on health and social issues, Gregory continued his activism into old age. In the year 2000, when he was 67, he went to New York and then to Detroit to protest police brutality in those cities. That was the year he also went to Kentucky to demand the hiring of black high school principals. 10 years later, when he was 77, he announced his plan to go on a 30-day fast to focus public attention on Haiti, which was in dire need of humanitarian relief. This was right after that earthquake that devastated the country. And by the way, this parish raised $5,000 for Haitian relief at the request of our bishop after that tragedy. I was saddened to hear of Dick Gregory's passing this week, but I was amazed to learn of the content of his life and the rigorous way in which he lived out his convictions. But why this extended eulogy for someone we didn't know, for someone not a member of our parish? It's because of that little sentence in today's second reading, the one from Romans that says, "Do not be conformed to this world." There's a second half to that sentence, but let's leave it there for now. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't accept without question that the way things are the way they ought to be. Society pressures us to conform, accept, fit in, adopt. And that's what we want to do. We're pack animals. We're not loners. We need one another, and we need society, but we do not need to be conformed to the ways of this world because they are seldom the ways of God. Dick Gregory was a nonconformist, and that warrants our attention. We need to see what that looks like. He once told an audience about his social activism, "This isn't a revolution of black against white. This is a revolution of right against wrong, and right has never lost." Which brings us to the rest of that sentence from Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable. We Christians can work ourselves up into a mighty lather about discerning the will of God. But look, there it is, right there. In the Bible, in Romans. Whatever is good is God's will. Whether it's done by a Christian or not, doesn't matter. If it's good, it's God's will. If it's perfect, it's God's will. We know that injustice isn't right. It isn't God's will. We know that harming others and the environment isn't right. It isn't God's will. We know that hating one another for any reason, skin color, politics, ethnicity, is not right. Don't allow people to tell racist jokes in your presence. Don't allow people to demean those of a different political party in your presence. Don't conform. Of course, on the issue of doing God's will, we Christians seldom have to choose between good and bad. Mostly, we have to choose between good and good. Right? That's where transformation comes in. Another part of that little sentence from Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable. I used to think that transformation was like the old army slogan. You know the one? Be all that you can be. That's what I used to think transformation was. I think about it differently now. I think being transformed means being in the presence of God. It means being interested in the presence of God. To be in God's presence. To abide, that's what Jesus calls it over and over and over again, abide in God. This takes a certain kind of consciousness, a transformed consciousness that allows us to stay open to the holy. Doing this, this abiding, it takes cultivation, it takes practice. Practice prayer. Contemplation, worship, and gratitude. Now that would be a nice slogan. I don't think it would work for the army, but practice gratitude. That is one of the single most powerful ways to renew the mind. Be grateful. To be transformed is to live one's life in God's presence. We become God-centric. God ceases to be an object of religion and becomes friend, intimate, the lover of our soul. In this state, it may still be hard to choose between good and good, but then very little in life that is worthwhile is easy. Don't conform just because it's always been so in your life, in your family, in your town, or your society. It isn't a matter of who comes out on top. It is a matter of right and wrong. And Dick Gregory says, right has never lost. Be all you can be, certainly, but mostly be in the presence of God.